This is the Real Royal Family Podcast with your co-host, Valerie Wright. And we're here to take back your crown and the jewels that are on it. The jewels of your life, your joy, and your purpose. Only God's love and power can conquer trauma. Now, this is not virtual reality. It is spiritual reality. It is not a game, but we are going to treat it as a challenge to destroy what is destroying you. And God's word says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Let's get it. Get it. Get it. Thank you for joining us on our next episode of The Real Royal Family. And first, praise goes to my senior partner, the Holy Spirit, who is enthroned with the one true living God. And if you don't know who he is, you need to get to know him because he's wonderful. He's a counselor. That means he'll be your legal representative in spiritual issues in the heavenly courts. It also means that the Holy Spirit is the one that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead. And since he did it for Jesus, he'll do it for you. Because there will be many deaths in our life, things that we have to put on the altar and burn. Deaths of bad relationships, bad mindsets, evil decrees spoken and done against us. So let's go directly into this next episode. And this is your spiritual Harriet Tubman. That is my role, but this is Valerie Wright. Thank you so much for joining us today. Beautiful, beloved, awesomely and wonderfully and fearfully made children of God. In this episode, we're going to be focusing on blessings and curses. So I'm going to give you a definition. But before I give you the definition of blessing and this definition of curse, I want to first let you know what the Father said. In Deuteronomy 30:21, in the King James Version, he said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. So he said, a contrast, life is on one side, death is on the other side. Okay, remember the kingdom of life and light? So in the kingdom of light, life is on first choice. Death is the second choice. Blessing and cursing, he says, next. Blessing is the first choice. Cursing is the next choice. And he also says, I call heaven and earth. Because what is man that thou art mindful of him? That means that we are earth beings, but we also have our citizenship in heaven. And when we are reborn, we still are operators in the earth realm, but we have a connection in the heavenlies. We are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. You're going to keep hearing me say it, and I'm going to keep saying it over and over again because you need to know. Because someone has told you that you are evolved from a monkey or an ape. I love monkeys. I love apes. They're beautiful animals. They're intelligent, but we come from God. He spoke us into existence. He created us with mud, and then he breathed his breath, part of his essence, into us. So know who you are. So he calls heaven and earth to record this day because we have dual citizenship against us. So if he's calling heaven against us, that means you make a choice. So heaven is no longer against you. So if heaven is against you, that means hell will claim you just by default. Okay, it's the default kingdom is death and cursing. You have to choose life, just like it says in Deuteronomy 30:21. Choose life, choose blessing. All right, so let's go on to blessing and curses. And the reason I like to do word definitions is because in our modern times, people like to use slang. And slang, people think, oh, you know, I'm hip. That was one of the terms from, I think, the 70s or 80s. By using this and, you know, I'm going to make this language my own and I'll make words mean what I want them to mean. This is an assignment from the pit of hell. So you begin now cursing yourself instead of blessing yourself. You begin to say, hey, yo, that's a bad outfit you have on. So now you're saying bad. What's wrong with saying you look beautiful? Just give a straight compliment. You know why? because the devil is a liar and there is nothing else that he can do. So if he can get you to co-sign while saying something negative about someone else, and just remember, when you say negative things, evil things, curses, when you speak death to other people, you're planting those seeds into your garden, all right? And fat, P-H-A-T-A, that's fat. We're not to have too much fat on us. We're not. There's diseases when there's fat around your heart, and there's diseases when there's, you have a fatty liver. We are to have a certain amount of fat. That's beautiful. That brings woman's beautiful curves. It also is there as an energy source. So while God is knitting babies that he is giving us stewardship over, that there's a resource, a fuel in the body that the body needs if you ever are working and you just can't stop it and eat all the time. So fat has its purpose, but too much fat also has a purpose, and that purpose is to kill you. And then the N-word, I'm not even going to begin to go in on that, because I'll do that on another episode. And let's move on. So we're going to go to blessing. Bless. Bless is a transitive verb. So a transitive verb is being or relating to something. That means it holds, a transitive verb holds between the first element and the second element, and between the second element and the third. So it holds between the first and the third elements. And the example that the Webster's Dictionary gives is, I like pie, she makes hats. The verb like and makes are the transitive. So they link the I and the pie and the she and the hats. The definition of bless is hallow or consecrate by religious rite or word. To invoke divine care for, praise, glorify, to speak well of, to approve, to confer prosperity or happiness upon, to protect, preserve and protect, and to endow favor. A curse is a prayer or an invocation for harm or injury to come upon one. A profane or obscene oath or word, something that is cursed or accursed. Evil or misfortune that comes as if in response to imprecation, a cause of great harm or misfortune, torment. Curse is also a verb, to be profanely insolent, to use profanely insolent language against. Don't curse other people. Of course, in the event somebody's, I'm gonna move on. To call upon divine or supernatural power, to send injury upon, to bring great evil upon, to afflict. So when we have good parents, the concept of the lessons, blessings and curses, is easy to understand, because when you grow up abandoned as an orphan or rejected as a foster child in a single parent home, love to you is a word that is lost, because there's a spirit of longing that leaves a doorway of darkness open. And so when you leave a doorway of darkness open, spirits can come and go as they please. That's a doorway of darkness. So dark spirits can come and go as they please. And people with evil intentions and agendas, when you are a child and as you grow up, come and go. And then you just keep picking the same demonic people with demonic agendas, but they just have a different name, a different face, sometimes a different skin color. But nonetheless, you are attracting things to you, because you have not chosen life. So this episode, we're going to choose life. We're going to choose blessing. We're going to close those doors right now in the mighty name of Jesus. God blesses people. So in Deuteronomy 28, when you go to it, he says, I will make you the head and not the tail. And I encourage you to go read that whole chapter of Deuteronomy 28. As a matter of fact, let's go there now. I'm not going to read the whole thing. What we are going to do is read some of it. So Deuteronomy 28 starts at verse 1. It says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings, plural, shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of the ground, and the fruit of thy cattle and the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Okay, and it just keeps going on and on. The blessings. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. So you should be the lender, not the borrower. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. Okay, so you'll be the one that makes the decision, not the one that gets dragged around in the dirt. So there is a choice to be made. And when you say, I choose blessing, the condition is you have to obey the word of the Lord. Now, when you don't obey him, the default comes in. So when we have light and we have darkness, darkness is the absence of light. So you always need things to contrast in language to understand. So there's up and down. Learn to listen to things. Learn to listen to what you're saying to yourself. Learn to listen to what your family sayings are and what they believe, and you know, and say one to another. I had a very close and dear family member say to me the other day, they thought they were giving me a compliment, and I didn't say anything because I'm learning to be better. I just gave it to the Holy Spirit and chose not to be moved by it. But what this person said to me is, no matter what you do to me, I will love you. There's nothing you can do that would make me not love you. Now, what that statement is basically, it's a snake in the grass from the demonic kingdom, which lets you know how this person thinks. They see themselves as a victim. And so if somebody else is putting themselves in the position of a victim, that means that they have no power. And then also what they are trying to project onto me, which I did not receive, is that I would do anything to harm them. So it's funny that you say that to a person in this relationship who has done loving things for you, and this person has said that. But you know, there's many layers to what goes on when you're going through your walk. So when people go through their walk and they say stuff, and they might mean it or they might not mean it, but that's their stuff going on. So I tell you, 2 years ago, I would have then gotten to a discussion and said to this person, well, what do you mean by that? I don't receive that. You think it's a compliment. And now we would have gone back and forth. And Philippians 2:14 says, do all things without arguing and complaining. So when I gave it to the Holy Spirit, I then chose, I'm going to move on, and I'm going to learn how to keep blessing myself. And not only that, speak love and goodwill to that person, and may they stop speaking satanic tongues. Because what she was speaking, remember, the seed, the word is a seed, but it's also proof of your fruit. So the words you speak are seeds you plant in your own garden, but they also tell other people what kind of tree you are and what kind of fruit is growing on your tree. So if you speak victimhood, if you speak hatred and resentment, and I'm gonna, you know, if you were in the studio with me right now, you'd see my hand go up. I was really big on bitterness and resentment, which is an easy thing to happen when you have a life full of pain and rejection and not being protected. And when your family scapegoats you, makes you seem as if the family is perfect, but you're the only one that can't seem to get things right. In families, dysfunctional families especially, you're in a great position wherever you are. It's not a mystery to God what happened, but now you have the ability to, Luke 10:19, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. So in your family system, I was a scapegoat. And so the entire family, I was the butt of a lot of jokes. Now, did they say it to my face? In slick kind of ways. My family wasn't just totally rude, but I could feel it. And And other family members who were very sweet and kind people came and told me, and one of them said in particular, "Hey Val, if you would have heard what they were saying about you." And I said, I stopped her. I said, "I'll tell you what they said. They said this, they said that, they said this, they said that." She goes, "Oh my God, how do you know?" And I really didn't know, but it was the Holy Spirit that was in me letting me know. And part of my quest in life, just knowing that the family that I came from had a lot of dysfunction, had a lot of problems. And generally what they tend to do is people like to feel good about themselves. So as long as there's somebody beneath them, then they will continue to move forward thinking that everything is okay. But when you are the scapegoat of the family, bless you, Holy Spirit, you're in a great position. Because spiritually speaking, the scapegoat is the one that during certain holidays, Passover, all of the curses and the blame went on to the scapegoat. And they would sacrifice other animals. And forgive me if I'm wrong, I researched this a while ago. But the scapegoat, they didn't kill it. They just let it wander off into the forest and in the wilderness. Now, to probably be attacked by a lion or a bear or something ferocious. But goats are pretty hardy animals. When God has put you in this position, that means you're in good company, because that means you are the animal of sacrifice. Okay? So Jesus was the sacrificial lamb. Joseph, the scapegoat, was the sacrificial lamb in his family. And when you look at all of the people who have been rejected, you're in a good position, because that means that when your father and mother forsake you, this is to my beloved orphans and my beloved foster children and everyone else who has felt rejected or abandoned. We're going to go to the word, Psalms 27:10. "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up." And this is David talking. "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up." So I've heard one biblical scholar talk about David, that he might not have been a full son. That's why when Nathan came to anoint Jesse's sons, David wasn't there. The shepherds were considered the lowest of the low in society. So it was a magnificent job, a wonderful and very important job, because if your sheep get destroyed, you don't eat. But it's also a tough job. And if you're not a good shepherd, that means you're a bad shepherd. And that means your sheep gets devoured. And eventually you have no sheep to be devoured. And then what has come after the sheep is now coming after you. So when you are put in that position to be the lowest one in your family, then God said, when you are rejected, when you are abandoned, "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up." That means God will teach you. And when that happens to a human being, I need you to know that just because you don't make friends and you don't connect to people easily, you are very dissociative. God is calling you to himself. He's pulling you in his secret place. He wants to show and teach you things that he can't show and teach anybody else. And when you have a loving Father God, a spirit that you cannot see, and you don't have anyone or anything to compare it to, it can be very tough to understand that this is a position of blessing. The kingdom of God is an upside down kingdom. I call it an upside down kingdom, because when you humble yourself, when you make yourself low, then God will rise you up. When it seems like you are alone, and even the people who are designed by God himself to look after you, your father and your mother forsake you, then God will take you up. Hey, what better position is there to have God as your father? He made fathers and mothers, so that means he's the father of all fathers and the mothers of all mothers. He says he's a he, so we call him a he. We don't call him anything else but what he says for us to call him. He calls the shots. We don't call the shots, okay? And also, the earth is not your mother. The earth is a co-creation along with us. She is a beautiful, wonderful being that just, you put a seed in her and she will do what God has ordained her to do, and make a tree full of mangoes or lemons and will make a bush full of berries, or she will make roots, carrots and batata and sweet potatoes and white potatoes. The earth is not your mother. She's co-creation, along with the sun and the moon. They are co-creations. They work together with us. We have dominion over the skies, the sun and the moon and the earth and all the animals and all creepy things. If any creeps in your life, you have dominion over them. So let's move on to what it means to be blessed and be a blessing. So remember, you are blessed to be a blessing. Okay, so it also means that if you're cursed, there's nothing you can give but curses. So when you are trying to help people who are cursed, do not bring them into your home unless God has trained you to do that, and that takes a few decades. You just bless them with God's love and goodwill. Peace be unto you in the mighty name of Jesus. And you keep walking. You do not bring curses. You don't bring cursed people. You don't bring accursed things into your home. And of course, we'll go over what accursed things are in a future episode. So if you're blessed to be a blessing, so then right now you make a choice and you say, I choose to be in your kingdom, Father God. So right now, so let's choose life. I want you to repeat after me. Father God, you said you made me in your image. And I believe that Jesus is your son, who you sent down the earth to die on the cross and to go to hell and to rule and hold captivity captive in hell, and then to rise back up to heaven to be seated at your right hand. I choose to be engrafted into the family of heaven, to heaven's family, your family. I want Jesus as my elder brother. I switch kingdoms from the kingdom of death and darkness. And I want to be, and I choose to be, and I speak it from my heart and with my mouth, that I choose to be in your kingdom of light, life, and blessing. And from this day forth, whatever it takes, don't let me let you go. Thank you right now. I love you. And I cover myself with your blessing and your love. And I choose to live by your word and obey you, so I can be blessed, so my bloodline can be blessed. Okay? So now there's a party going on in heaven. If I spoke it too fast, you can just pause and record and rewind and speak it after me. So I'm going to move forward, because now when you are blessed, you are blessed to be a blessing. So what this does in the kingdom of life and light, addition and multiplication, not subtraction and division, which is the kingdom of death, the kingdom of life, there's a turbine that you can start. So you're blessed to be a blessing. So God is the blessor. He's the thing that blesses, and he is a blessing himself. So now that he's in you and you are in him, let's get this turbine going. Let's start this kingdom of multiplication going. Let's start this turbine. So in Psalm 29, which I deeply love, it says, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. This is King James Version. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And that's Psalm 29. Now, I love this, how it says it, the Passion Translation. Proclaim his majesty, all ye mighty sons of Yahweh. That's you and I. If you profess with your mouth and with your heart that Jesus is Lord and he did all of those things, came from heaven, earth, born of a woman, went to hell, dominated hell, went back up to heaven to be seated at the right hand of God, and he left his Holy Spirit here for us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here for us to teach us and guide us. Psalms 29 says, proclaim his majesty, all ye mighty sons of Yahweh, giving all the glory and strength back to him. God's mighty voice, this is Psalms 29, verse 1 and 2, the Passion Translation. God's mighty voice makes the deer to give birth in his temple and fall before him, with each one shouting, glory, glory, the God of glory. Shouting, glory, glory, the God of glory. Let's start the turbine going. You say it. Glory, glory, the God of glory. Glory, glory, the God of glory. Start the turbine going. Turbine is a very large machine. The Septuagint reads that those who give him glory, he carries to his house. So when you say glory, glory to the God of glory, what does a blessing do? Right? It gives you good things. It gives you favor. It's multiplication and addition. So you say, bless your name, glory to your name, glory, glory, the God of glory, bless you, Father God. And he has no choice but to rain down blessings upon you. So the Septuagint reads is a Greek version of the Jewish scriptures adopted by Greek-speaking Christians. And there was like over 70 scholars translating it. And so you are to be blessed. And you are to be a blessing. But you can start the blessing by blessing God. Glory, glory, the God of glory. You just say it. Instead of saying, woe is me. Why do bad things always happen to me? I always lose money. I always pick the wrong people. I hate this job. Okay, remember, you're speaking these things and you're planting seeds in your garden. And when you do that, your words are boomerangs that you send out and they come right back to you. You have to learn the kingdom from which you come from, system and way of doing things. Bless. Bless yourself. I bless myself. I bless my home. I bless my children. I bless my God. I believe that God does good things and only good things come from him. So I know that God will give me a job better than the one I have with more money, and he will do it with grace and in the perfect timing. And you just start the things that have happened to me. I don't think about them anymore. I don't touch them. I am getting healing from the Lord. And I understand that there's a kingdom out there that wants to drag me down to hell. And I am now unhooking all of those hooks from in my heart, my memories, in my mind, in my thinking, from in my soul, the way that I do things, my behavior. I bless myself. I bless my life. One of the best things you can do right now, if you are in a relationship and you are single and you are fornicating, you stop doing that immediately. And if that person doesn't understand, you just run to Jesus. Run into the arms, run into the secret place of God, because what happens is now all the spirit of rejection and the spirit of abandonment is making you cleave to the kingdom of darkness. So you will feel accepted, and a desperate person accepts anything, but you are not desperate. You are part of the real royal family. So speaking of the Real Royal Family, let's go to therealroyalfamily.com, and then you're going to go to the tab that says Game Quest. And so let's go look at the game board. So you're going to look at it. You're going to see that this is called, quest number one is called Escape the Wizard's Cage. So we already did in the first few episodes, we came out of the cage inside of the wizard's cave. And then we came out of the cave, which is the darkness, another holding place. So you can be in more than one holding, evil, dark holding place. So at the gate, at the opening of the cave, you will see there's scorpions there. So the moment you try to get free, there's things that's going to be trying to sting you and send you right back into, out of fear, into a place that you were not designed to be. You'll see red circles, white circles, gray circles. They are colored and they take you out of the cave across the waters and into the place where God's kingdom begins. So he sends you right into the middle of the flock, okay? The king's flock. So at the start, you're coming out of the cage, the cave and the cage. There's a red circle and the circles have numbers. So each day you will start your day. When you come out of that cave, we start with, so you'll see different color circles with different numbers and you progress each day. Each morning you read, releasing the power of blood. You have to start your day with the blessings of the Lord and the protection. And you do it right before you go to sleep when you wake up. You never go to sleep without putting a covering over you and your family. If you're having night terrors, if you're having bad dreams, if you're seeing bad things in your dreams, those are demonic attacks. You need to stop them right now. Those are the kingdom of darkness agents trying to put more curses into your life, trying to make you eat things in your sleep. For the longest time, I used to have dreams about always being in a place. Now, there were different places. Like one day, it would just be like I would just be in some house. I never remember walking in there. And then I would walk to the right and to the left, and there was always these people standing and staring at me. And then I was like, I got to get out of here. And I would turn around and try to go the opposite way. I knew I made a right and left, so now I'm turning around. So now I know I have to make a left and right to get out. And there is no left to be made. So the thing closed up behind me. So it was a horrible, demonic labyrinth. And it finally, I must have had this dream about 5 to 7 times before I realized, oh my God, this is the same dream. I'm trapped. I'm caged someplace. I don't know what to do. And I started, thank God for Dr. Olukoya. I started reading his books, Oromai, Osei, and Joshua Selman. These are apostles and men of God from Africa who don't deny that there are dark powers at work. Americans do, but America's starting to wake up a little bit. So let's go back to the game rules. And so each one of these colors means something. So the yellow are psyops. That means that you have to now start going into who you are. What are you thinking? Your family system, why you do things. The red is the body. So that means you're going to be doing different types of fasts. Very simple. We start with simple types of fasting. Fasts that you can easily do. All right. Like from 6 a.m. to noon, drinking water, okay? Good water, not sink water, distilled water if you can, and if not, then you do the best you can. So then we do word power. That's the blue color circles where you begin to memorize scriptures. What is the scripture? It's the sword. It's the spoken word of the Lord. You start speaking and memorizing scripture. Then you become, you don't just ever do defense. You don't just get away and dot and duck and run and hide. All right. Once you bring pain to the other side, once you bring power and pain to the other side, that's when people stop messing with you. Okay, so get into the habit. So you're gonna wake up, and the white circles is you're gonna just wake up, and you're just gonna start releasing the power of the blood. Those are on the website. You can download those. Read them in the morning. Read them before you go to sleep. Read them at lunchtime. Keep doing it. Get into the habit of starting your day by declaring who is King and Lord and who you are in that kingdom and who you are on this earth. And before you go to sleep, stop those night terrors. Night terrors, those are designed to shorten your life. And just remember that other kingdom is a kingdom of subtraction and division. And our kingdom is a kingdom of addition and multiplication. So thank you for joining us. Shalom, shalom. This is your host, Valerie Wright, your spiritual Harriet Tubman, and we love you, our beloved. Thank you for joining us.
If you say you love Jesus, roll with him now. All the shots in the world ain't gold and his crown. He put the power in your hands, power in your words. It's dominated with the greatest Lord, praise him first. We are soldiers of Jesus. Huh.